All right. Before we get started, let's pray for the service tonight. Pray for the message. This message is for the entire body of Word and Power. It's an exhortation. It's a challenge. It's going to be thought-provoking. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those that came out, Lord, minister to each one. Thank you for each one that's here, and Lord, those that are not feeling well, we speak peace over and just restoration in every area in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that's true. And sometimes we're faced with challenges, and we've got a challenge going here. And so we thank you, God, for the anointing on the word. Let it go forth. Let it be received correctly. No misunderstandings, no twisting of what's said that would cause any problems. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the days ahead, months ahead, years ahead in Word and Power Ministries. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've titled this Conformed or Transformed. And so if you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So this scripture is telling us we're not to be conformed to the world. Even as I go on in this lesson, we're not to be conformed even to the church world of just status quo. This church is to be on the edge, making a difference in this city and this community and around the world. So we can't be just normal. We've got to press into the things of God to be transformed. And we do this by the renewing of our mind. First, I will talk about our own personally, transform personally. This church has heard the word for years and years and years. There's nothing that we haven't covered. And we hear good messages, and we go away. We've done it in other when we weren't pastoring. We'd go to other, you know, when the churches God had us. And sometimes Steve would ask me when we got in the car, "Well, what'd you get out of the sermon today?" "Nothing." "Nothing? What did you put in? Nothing. No, nothing." "I don't remember. It was good. It was really good. I liked it. But let me see. What was it really? What did, you know?" And this is what happens. We hear a good word, and we go out the door, and that's it until the next service. But there's more to just coming to church and hearing a good word. We've got to receive something that the Holy Spirit, He will personalize every sermon to reach everybody in here. It's not the same point that will touch everybody, but the Holy Spirit will customize the word so that there's something that you come away with. "Okay, Lord, I see that." It may be at the very last sentence. There's something that you are to hear that will challenge you for a more excellent walk in the Lord. Something the Holy Spirit says, "No, I don't want you to watch this anymore." Or there's something the Holy Spirit will do. I want you to write a letter to somebody. Or maybe there's some unforgiveness. You are to forgive that person and take them out to lunch. You know, God can do so many things. It's just a flash. And that's the purpose when we come together to get built up, to get equipped. And so in coming and hearing something, then we go home and then we ask the Holy Spirit to show us how we are to apply maybe that one point, that one scripture. How do I personalize that scripture? How do I work that into my life? I don't know how to do that, Lord. For instance, the scripture in Romans, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how. How do I let that love flow? How does that love reach out to everybody? Because God's love goes beyond our human love. Our human love stops. We can judge someone by the way they look, the way they act, and then back up, shut it down. But God's love goes beyond. His love is everlasting. It never changes. And so when we have His love, then we can love the unlovely. Because in the natural, you don't. Just be honest, you don't. Someone that just rubs you the wrong way, like, oh, I don't like being around that person. They just irritate me, you know. We have that sandpaper. God uses people as sandpaper to work love into our life. So when we leave here, how do we be transformed? And it also says that we will know the will of God. When we are seeking Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and work in our lives through the scriptures and our personal life, through coming to church, hearing the Word, ladies' meetings, men's meetings, it all has one purpose, that we grow up into Him, that we are mature, that we don't stay the same. We'd be really funny looking if we had never grown and we look like a 6-year-old and we're however old we all are, you know, and it's the same way in the spirit. Our spirit has to grow and mature. That's the purpose of the word. But sometimes we don't mature and we're slow and we drag our heels and it takes forever for something to be worked in our life. But at least we're making progress. Not as fast as maybe God would like, because He can do a work just like this. It don't take God long when we're open. But if we don't, if we're one of those hard learners, then how many times have we all gone around the mountain until we get it right? One more trip around that mountain. Jesse has a sermon called One More Night with the Frogs. Talking about the children of Israel, one more night with the frogs. So we want to be quick to learn, quick to obey, and have a heart open to know the will of God. Now, God's will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. God's will for our lives is good, and it's perfect. We can't improve on God's will for our life. We can stop His will, we can hinder His will, but His will for us, each one of us, is perfect for us. God's will for each one of us is different. God's plan for each one of our lives is different. And Eileen, you've experienced things in your life that we haven't. We've experienced things in our life you haven't, but it's still God's will for your life. And the things that you've learned and the things you've walked through, you've seen the will of God come through all these years that you've served Him. And so He works with us and through us and for us. So let's turn to James chapter 1. And we'll read verse 22 and 25. Okay. Okay. 23, I'm sorry, it's 23. 23 and 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Let's read 24. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, which is the word of God, the law of liberty, not bondage, liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, we are not only to be hearing the word, but we are to be doers of the word, to take action, because like this man here that looks in the mirror. Oh, I see. Okay. The part's all right. Okay. I brush my teeth. And so you look okay and you go away. But when you look in the law of liberty, the word is like a mirror. It shows us little flaws we don't see, little things that are hidden. And so as we look and as we read and study the word, it will show us, it will correct us, it will point out areas that God's saying, you know, let's tweak this attitude. There's a little attitude here that we need to work on, and let the Holy Spirit work. So this person that stays in the word and does the word is not a forgetful hearer. He's blessed. Now, the word here, delude, where is that? I can't find it. Means to deceive. And we're going to talk about deception tonight. But we don't have to stay deceived. There are areas in our life, each one of us, that we don't know about, we don't see, but sometimes it's so obvious for others to see. We don't see it, but others can see it, and God can see it. So when we ask God, is there anything in my life that doesn't please you? Is there anything that you want me to correct? Be open, and he will show you. And it's not some big deal. We don't have to be afraid. He's not going to stop loving us when he shows us something that's not up to par. The word corrects. And so when we give attention to the word, it directs us. It corrects. It is also creative. But if we don't listen, if we hear something, even in messages, and we don't want to hear it, and we shut down and say, I'm not going to receive that, nope, then there's a danger in not heeding the word. We become dull of hearing. Our hearts become hardened and insensitive to the Spirit, and we want to be soft-hearted, tender-hearted, so that we can pick up things in the Spirit. If Roger talked about in this room, there's television programs, there's radio programs, there music. And I thought he was nuts when I didn't even think what his next. I never thought there's not any music in here. He says Mozart could be playing. I thought Mozart. I don't hear Mozart. He said, but if you have a receiver, you can pick this stuff up. I thought, okay, duh. Now, if our hearts are all sensitive, we're like that receiver. We can pick up the least little thing. We can pick up when you come into someone's presence and you think they're down. And you can say, is something wrong today? Can I pray for you today? You can pick up a need. Or if you're not even in their presence, the Holy Spirit can bring them to your mind. That means when he brings somebody to your mind, they need prayer. Many times say, God, put me on somebody's heart. Have somebody pray for me. And people, I've had this people say to me, this someone that I didn't know very well, just occasionally through Women's Globe back years ago. And she says, Kathy, boy, I had a burden for you last week. Are you okay? I said, I don't know. But thank you for praying, you know. Maybe I had something going on that I didn't know about, and she prayed it through, and it, whatever it was didn't come about. I don't know. But to be sensitive, to, you know, like when you cook some meat and a steak that needs some little tenderizer, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to tenderize us so that we'll be sensitive to him, not all tough and hard and can't hear nothing, can't pick up anything. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work and transform us from the things of the world into God's kingdom and his way of doing things. I said the word is creative. The word creates hunger. It creates a desire. The more time you spend in the word, now I know people have to work. I'm not saying you don't work, that you stay home and pray and read the word all day and don't accomplish nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have to make time. Not just, I'll say to someone, have you read the word? Have you been in the word? Oh yeah, I got my word for today. And I'll not go any further with that one. But that's not enough to get you through. Because what does the word say? The enemy goes out around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he comes knocking on our door and we don't have a scripture that we can bring to remembrance, then you're in trouble. And if you don't remember one, scream Jesus. Just scream the name of Jesus. That's the best thing. I've told young girls, if you're ever in a problem, if there's ever in a situation of danger, scream the name of Jesus. Oh, scream the name of Jesus as loud as you can. We heard of a woman, we heard this on Ken Copeland's ministry years ago, of a young woman was taking a shower, and someone came in the shower and was going to attack her. She got that guy out of that shower. She spoke the name of Jesus, put the fear of God in him. He left. He ran. It scared him so bad. Jesus, we've done it. We've done it in the nighttime when we've shared things, how the enemy has come to attack in the nighttime, come to try to put fear on you, paralyze you with fear. You say the name of Jesus if you can get it out. You're so terrified, you can't even open your mouth. You have to, Jesus, it's horrible when you've had that. Thank God for the blood and the name of Jesus when you can get it out, because you are absolutely terrified. So, moving along, Ephesians 5:8 says that for you were formerly darkness. I thought that's really strange, formerly darkness. Instead of you were in darkness. Well, when you don't, before you became a Christian, there was no light in you. We were walking in darkness. But now that you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So when he comes in, his light begins to dispel the dark areas in our life. Because when we're out in sin, Even It doesn't even have to be big sin, little sin. There's openings. There's doors open that give access to the enemy. Someone called me a couple weeks ago, and they had a question, and so I answered them, and then I thought about it and answered them back a different answer, and I said, "Why do you want this information?" And their response was, "Oh, a friend wanted to know." And the Holy Spirit showed me. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I love this." I said, "What are you doing? Having an astrological chart done on your life?" I haven't heard back from him. Bingo. I loved it. I did like Roger. Yay, Jesus. It just came to me, just like that. Yeah, that's what it was. So, he will show you. He will show you and give you information that needs to be. And I said to this person, "Forget it. Don't even go there. I've been there. I've done that. And I have the t-shirt to prove it. Don't even put yourself in such a situation. Don't." So I shared. God told me what it was. I told him, explained, "Hey, I've done the same thing. I know what occult bondage is like. Don't do it." So I gave him a warning. They choose what they want to do. So that light was able to shine into the darkness in this person and try to bring some light to them before they get in deeper darkness. And we can't force people. We can't. We're not the Holy Spirit. I wish I was. But we can only give them what God puts on your heart. And you have to leave it there. And then you have to trust God. You've planted some seed, and you're going to trust God. He's going to bring somebody around that they will listen to and give them the same answer. Otherwise, when they get in bondage and need help, I guess he'll call and want some help. I don't know. But when we walk in light, it dispels darkness. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." When we give someone truth, if they will act on it, it will cause freedom into their life. Now, I wanted to just share a little bit from this book on steps to freedom in Christ, on how we can be deceived. I'll put it out there as the book puts it on some of this stuff, because we've taught. Now we're going to get down and identify some stuff. We can hear a good message like Pastor's been teaching. Now we're going to dig in and we're going to uproot some stuff. So I want to share some of this before I really get to what God put on my heart. I started out with just some of the things. And it was like, no, talk on the spiritual life of the church. I said, okay. So some areas that we can be deceived because we're not being a doer of the word is we can be believed into to thinking that if we acquire lots of money and lots of things, that will bring lasting happiness. Have you seen the bumper sticker? The one with the most toys wins. I don't get that, but that is stupid. But, you know, people have this mentality. If I can just get more, bigger, then I'll be happy. That's right now, if you start looking at the movie stars, the rock stars that have died prematurely because they had so much money they could kill themselves on drugs and alcohol and wrecks, overdoses, suicides. They had more money than they could spend. Didn't do them any good. Didn't bring happiness. So that's a lie that sometimes people are deceived by. And we work and work and work to get all these things. And we miss the most important thing, which is Jesus. We could believe that, if we have an attractive body and personality, that will get me what I want. If I look like a movie star, that won't ever happen. But, you know, we put this performance thing on of being perfect on the outside. And we strive for perfection on the outside when the inner man, the inward man, is shriveling up and withering because it's not been fed the word. Believing that we can do whatever we want and no one can just touch us. Believing we can associate with just anybody and not have any influence on our life. Believing that there are no consequences on earth for my sin. Believing that unrighteous people who refuse to accept Christ go to heaven anyway. Now that's the biggest lie of all. But anyway, that's just some of the things on this chapter on deception versus truth, which I've just put on my title was being conformed to the things of this world, status quo Christianity, don't rock the boat type of thing, or being transformed into radical believers. So I want to get to what the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring. The church has been going for a number of years. And some that's with us have been with us from the beginning. Some have been with us almost from the beginning. And we have some new ones that come. But basically, it's our same foundation group of people. And I'm including ourselves in this. When you look at the spiritual atmosphere of our church, it hasn't changed a whole lot. And that's grievous to think that there's not been a growth in the things of the Spirit. We can grow in the Word. We've got Word and power. We've got to grow in the things of the Spirit. It matters to Word and power. It matters to the vision of this church, what we are to accomplish. That's going to take the power of God in our lives. It's going to take the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And it matters to us. Now, it doesn't matter. This message wouldn't preach at First Baptist or First Methodist or the Presbyterian Church because they're not there. God's saying to us, we have got to press into the Spirit and get more of the Spirit in our lives so that when we come together, there's a greater expression of the Spirit in our services. And sometimes we have really good services, really anointed, and the gifts flow. But it's not every week. It's hit and miss. And when we come to church, we should come expecting something, be ready to be used of God, be ready to be joyful, to be excited, because our excitement builds. If you could have just seen how it was with 45 or 50 people that were all on the same page. Wednesday night, Roger was so excited. He said, man, you are, I'm not even where I'm going here. You're just pulling this out of me. People were so hungry and so excited. And he was, it just made all the difference in the world. I tell you, it makes all the difference. When, whether there's 10 people or 50 people, if we're excited and if we're ready for what God wants to do. And honestly, we've come in drug in, you know, just tired. We've done that. And then you're just like, oh, be glad when service is over. You know, when the saints come dragging in, you know, instead of marching in, we're dragging in. God is challenging this church. It's long enough. He wants to pour out a spirit. He wants those that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and to pray in tongues and to lay hands on the sick. You know, I told you a few weeks back about an opportunity I'd missed. Well, I missed another one. And I was at the cleaners. I'll share this. I said, God, I did it again. To show you, you know, I am just like you guys. I'm not saying I've got it all together and, man, you guys, shape up. We've all got work to do. So I'm standing there getting my stuff, and the girl's waiting on me, and the other girl's leaving. She says, I'm going to take my lunch. And, oh, it was a Friday before the revival. And, oh, I've got to go see my mother this weekend and spend time with my mother. Oh. And she opened the door, and I started to say, but I thought, well, I'll get this. And I started to say, I thought, well, you know, why don't you pray for your mother? Say something nice to your mother, about your mother, and let's see how God can change things around. And so she got out, and she was gone. By the time I got out, she was gone. So I said, oh, I got in the car. I wanted to just kick myself in the rear from the cleaner's home. I was so mad. I said, God, I have done it again. Help me, Jesus, to do better of and be quicker. And I mean, it was right there on my in my mouth, and I just clamped it shut. So I had another opportunity Saturday. I said, oh, God, please don't let me blow this one. So I walked in to mail CDs. And there was only me at the post office and a new little lady there I'd never seen before, and she was sitting down. And so when I got to the counter, she got up and she kind of sighed, and I said to her, are you not feeling good? And she said, no. I didn't even ask her if she wanted me to pray. I reached over the counter, put my hand on hers. I said, Lord, touch. I looked at her and touch. I called her name. Touch her. Heal her. And quicken her body and let her begin to mend. She was the nicest thing to me. She was real nice anyway. But, buddy, she just thanked me. She had, you have a really great day. She was so glad I did that. And I was so glad I didn't blow it again. I said, oh, dear Jesus, I did it. I did it. I didn't mess this thing up again. And I just determined, when I see something, I'm going to go for it. With God's help, it'll only be through the power of the Holy Ghost to, you know, because honestly, you want to just, oh, you don't want to bother them. Ah, they don't want to hear anything. Oh, why am I going to do this? You have all these thoughts of why you shouldn't, why you couldn't, but you have to press on through anyway. So I've got some questions. Why has this body not continued to grow with the gifts of the Spirit? There's more than tongues. Singing in tongues, there's more than singing in tongues. We should all be functioning in the gifts. And we need the power of God in our life. And that power comes when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's more to God. We don't get everything all at once. If we had all the Holy Spirit, then why did Jesus say, go to the upper room and tarry till the Holy Spirit comes? And when he comes, You'll have power to be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth. If there wasn't power, the Holy Spirit came and he hadn't left. The church started on the day of Pentecost, and the church is still here. And his power is still here for the church to be filled with his power so that we can do exploits for him. Because it's going to take signs and wonders to reach people. Their hearts are so hard. They don't care about church. They don't want to hear another one knock at the door with a Bible. They want to see something. And we sent out flyers, but I guess nobody was sick and wanted to come and get healed. You know, that blew me away. That not one person would just venture out. Say, you know, I don't know about this, but, you know, maybe I could go get healed. But, you know, we'll try again. We'll have Roger back again. Romans 12, verse 11 says that we are not to lag behind. This is never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. This is amplified. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. You know, when you have a fire and those coals get real hot, those embers are just bright red. And when the fire goes down, you put a little something on it. Man, them embers are so hot that start that log. And so this is what the scripture says, be burning with the Spirit so that we can bring power forth, bring joy forth, to bring life. People will see life. We want people to see life. Honestly, the people that came last week's meetings, if they would have come to some of our meetings, they'd have thought, I got the wrong church. This don't seem like the church that I went to for that healing thing, that healing revival. So just seek God. What is it? Why do we not see more of a demonstration from, it's not just us. It's not just Pastor Steve and I to lay hands on the sick. It's the body. It's each one of you. And to receive prophecies and exhortation from him. If we are to transform this city and for God to use us in this last day move, then we're going to have to be transformed. We're going to have something to offer somebody when they walk in the door. So I just want to challenge everyone that's listening to this, that's part of this church. Seek the Lord. Ask him, why is it? Why is it that I'm not free to dance in the Spirit? I don't feel like I can even raise my hands or I can even clap. Why? What is causing this? We've got to find out the answers, and we've got to press in to God and get put on fire. Amen.